20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember, you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out over at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew Mertig. What's up, Andrew? It is good to be back for another show. It is not a Friday. We are excited to be with you today on a Monday.
It's been a whopping 2 days since we've done a show together. You know, wildcard weekend has always been really fun, period. But we got an additional two games this time around, and not having the Packers play was really relaxing. In fact, you got to just sit back and enjoy some football. It was really fun to just binge watch football basically all day Saturday, all day Sunday. It was kind of cool to see the Nickelodeon broadcast of the Bears Saints. I thought I was going to check that out for about a quarter, and I ended up staying for the entire game. And you know, though, I will say watching Red Zone every week during the regular season makes it really hard for me to just concentrate on one game at a time, unless of course it's the Packers. So that, you know, maybe in between plays, I'm looking at my phone a little bit more than I normally would, but just really fun, really, really great weekend for football.
Yeah. I'm really bummed that I didn't get a chance to at least check in on the Nickelodeon broadcast. I saw all the feedback on Twitter and the things that were happening. I'm like, that looks really, really interesting. I was not in a place to do that. Super bummed. But I fear that it may have cost the Bears an entire generation of fans, because I feel for all the lifelong Bears household to set their kids in front of a Nickelodeon broadcast. Thought this is a great way, you know, to introduce our kids to the sport, and subjected their kids to that football product. But I'm concerned there. But at least, I guess, Mitchell Trubisky won the MVP, right? Nickelodeon's most valuable player. I do not know what that means or what value that holds.
It was it was an online poll, and he ran away with it. So I don't know who was voting on that, if it was a bunch of adults playing a joke on Nickelodeon or what actually happened. But yeah, he was the leader from the get-go all the way through the end.
Interesting.
Landslide.
I saw Sean Payton got slimed at the end.
I missed that.
Yeah, so I mean, all kinds of fun. So I mean, what an interesting spin. The NFL stops at nothing to expand its audience. Good for them. And I'm sure a lot of people enjoyed that. I'll have to go back and find more clips of that. But it is fun to be here, to be in the situation that the Packers do find themselves in on their couches this weekend, and to now be able to talk about who the Packers will face in the divisional round, as things have come into focus over this weekend. But before we get into the specific implications for our Green Bay Packers, let's take a look at who did win and find victory throughout this wild card weekend.
Yeah, so we kicked off Saturday with the Bills outlasting the Colts. The Bills won that game 27-24. You know, Phillip Rivers put up a pretty good fight at the end, but it was clear the Bills were just a better team. The Rams then, you can say upset. I thought that game was probably a little bit more even before it started than anything, but the Rams really held their own against the Seahawks, winning 30-20. The Buccaneers then in the nightcap on Saturday took care of the Washington football team 31-23. We kicked off Sunday with the Ravens beating the Titans 20-13 and then celebrating at midfield. And then we saw the Saints run over the Bears 21-9. Currently, as we were recording, the Browns Steelers is going on, and the last I checked, it was 28-0 Browns. And we'll update you as the show goes on, but clearly you'll know what has happened in that game when we will. So unless the Browns really collapse, it looks like Cleveland is going to take out the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, really a pretty wild weekend of football. I was going to say that there wasn't a huge, massive upset that, you know, sometimes takes place on these weekends, but the Browns are currently tearing these Steelers to shreds, which I'm not sure many people expected. I think there's a couple minutes left in the second quarter as we are recording this, and there is still a 28-0 lead. But it just goes to show you that all you really have to do is get into the show, and then anything can happen. It's hard to predict this wild card weekend. But, of course, since the Packers hold the top seed in the NFC, they will naturally play the lowest remaining seed in the tournament, which is after this weekend's games, those LA Rams, who were the sixth seed to begin the playoffs. And so the Rams will travel to Green Bay and icy cold Lambeau next weekend. We're excited about that. And we'll get into this matchup for the Packers and some of the details around it here in just a few minutes. But first, this was a fun weekend of football, Andrew. And so I know that there are a lot of storylines that came out of this. What, in your mind, are some of the biggest storylines from Super Wild Card Weekend?
Yeah, and when we talk about storylines, I really wanted to focus in on the NFC, and I like to play a fun little game with myself, which is can you come up with a clever headline to predict the story? So what would be an Andrew's version of a newspaper here? And so I had three headlines / storylines, and nice. My first one is Goff gives Rams a chance after Wolford leaves in an ambulance. You'd like that one? Okay. Not so much. That was a bit of a stretch. So John Wolford did get knocked out, and Jared Goff was able to come in and lead the Rams to a victory over the Seahawks. And, you know, a lot of the talk, I think, around that was how bad Russell Wilson was. And, you know, a little bit of that's fair, but the Rams defense certainly had a lot to do with that. I really do think, even though Goff was pretty limited in his ability to make things happen, that if he wasn't in there, I don't know that John Wolford is able to lead the Rams to victory, even in the same circumstance. So how they match up with the Packers is a much different story, but we certainly will get to that later in the show.
Yeah, really, really interesting to see that game unfold so quickly with Wolford having to leave the game. And you know that obviously Goff has been the starter of this team for the entire season, and by all accounts, it seems that Goff wanted to play this game, felt that he could have played this game, and so it's interesting knowing that if you don't win the football game, if you're the Rams, there's no next week, right? Goff doesn't have a chance then to, you know, play, and you're not preserving him for a future game. So really interesting to see how that unfolded. Obviously, Goff played well enough to get them a win, made us a couple nice throws that really benefited them and split this game open and into the victory that it was. So really interesting to see how that develops going into next week with both quarterbacks still dealing with some lingering effects from those injuries.
My next headline was for Tampa and Washington, and that is Brady continues to be whiny, nearly upset by Heinie. So we had Taylor Heinicke leading the Washington football team to a near upset of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was really fun to have Twitter really embrace Taylor Heinicke, and the Washington footballers' pass rush never got to Brady. Certainly credit to the Bucs for having a plan to get the ball out incredibly quickly. But, you know, I didn't think the football team would be able to put up 23 points in this game, so credit to them, but that secondary for them was just miserable. Watch out for that Washington defense in the future if they ever get anybody to add to Kendall Fuller in the secondary, because that pass rush certainly is fantastic. But I came away a little bit less impressed with Tampa than I thought I would, and they're certainly going to face a tough test with the Saints for the third time this year. But my real takeaway from this game, is there a more unlikable player than TB12? Seriously, he's on the sideline screaming like a little boy that a very clear touchdown reception should be called incomplete. He's getting in the face of officials. He's all sorts of animated. It's like, dude, that was a catch. Like, what are you complaining about? Can you imagine the tantrum he would have thrown if Chris Godwin did that same animation and they called it incomplete? Like, get off your high horse. I'm done.
Andrew's like backing it down, but he's hot right now. So I'm in an interesting spot because I am I'm born and raised Michigan, right? So Tom Brady, obviously University of Michigan, was not the legend, you know, that
he's in the NFL. You mean Drew Henson's backup at Michigan?
Right, Drew Henson. But you would think that I would be one of a big Brady, you know, apologizer as a Michigan fan, and I never have been. I've always struggled with the Brady, the legend that he became, and I'm always the first to be excited when there's an opportunity to dethrone Brady. And so I was all set to go to bed early last night. I was like really excited, you know, got everything done I needed to, really pretty set on the Rams being this matchup, even though there's a shot with the Bears, and felt like I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna go to bed, the Bucks are gonna have this. And then Tyler Heinicke, like, I was up way late just taking in what I thought was going to be maybe a magic moment. And I obviously was disappointed at the end, but what a fun game. What a fun player. I mean, he really showed up for this team and really led his team and played in a way that you would never expect someone coming off the bench to play. So good on him, even though he didn't come out with the victory.
So my final headline was for New Orleans and Chicago, and that is Saints never gave the Bears a chance. The MVP was SpongeBob SquarePants. So, you know, this game was never really in question. I guess, you know, the dropped touchdown pass on a really well-designed play by Chicago. The Bears were never really able to recover from that. They seemed to get frustrated. They seemed to get in their head. You saw Anthony Miller get ejected. You saw some really, really dumb penalties from Chicago. But, you know, I was never really impressed by the Saints all that much. Credit for taking advantage of the Bears' weaknesses, but they weren't moving the ball on offense at all until later in the second half. And my feeling was the Bears' offense was just so inept. They couldn't move the ball at all, couldn't maintain possessions. The Chicago defense just got really worn out, and that's where the Saints' offense took advantage.
You know that I usually look through, like, some of our notes ahead of our podcast, and I never looked at your titles, so I'm so glad that I didn't, because it was the first time I was hearing your news titles here, and they did. The first one was had me a little bit nervous, but they got better and better, and that was a blessing to me. I feel like we should stop the podcast right now because those were fantastic.
But I'm like George Costanza. If somebody laughs at one of my jokes, I usually just walk out of the room.
We should quit now. It's good. I mean, this Bears-Saints game was obviously the last domino that needed to fall for Green Bay to know its upcoming opponent for divisional weekend. And I think that there were a lot of fans who were hoping that the Packers would have a chance to defeat the Bears a third time this season. But that's not happening. The Bears just didn't look interested in continuing football this season today. They were allowed to stay in this game a lot longer than they probably should have at times, but it was not meant to be. The Bears are not coming back to Lambeau. It was really fun, full weekend of football. Lived up to its name as Super Wild Card Weekend. And in a weird way, as Andrew mentioned earlier, it was really fun to not have the Packers participating. You could just sit back, enjoy the games a little without the pressure of it being your team's Super Bowl hopes on the line. But as we mentioned earlier in the show, we now know, with Chicago losing to the Saints, that the Packers will get the LA Rams next weekend in this divisional round that's coming up. This is a matchup that presents some unique opportunities for the Packers, but also some unique challenges for sure. Lots to develop this week, lots to dig into. The Pack-A-Day team is going to get you prepared for this matchup. One of the absolutely huge benefits of getting to skip Wild Card Weekend is your team gets to heal up from some previous injuries, and you also avoid new injuries. And boy, do we see the injury bug biting the Rams in this game this weekend. Aaron Donald had the rib injury. Cooper Kupp had the knee contusion. And then, of course, there's the ongoing injury situation with the quarterbacks there in L.A. with Jared Goff's thumb and John Wolfer's head injury. We're glad that he's been released from the hospital. It looks like he's going to be more than okay by all accounts. But, man, I mean, that's a lot to watch for. It seems like all the players will be okay, like I said, to play this coming weekend. But you have to believe that there may be some lingering effects. It's a shorter weekend. They're going to play. We're going to talk in just a second here. They're going to play on Saturday. I'm especially interested in Aaron Donald and his ribs, because even though his x-rays came back negative, even bruised ribs are incredibly painful, and they tend to get worse after a day or two. You may not know initially how seriously that's going to affect you. This is not me rooting for Donald to have a more significant injury, but as someone who's had bruised ribs a couple times, it's not fun. And so the injuries in general are something that's going to be something to pay attention to all week as we approach this game. But speaking of game time, Andrew, they just announced that this game is going to be played on Saturday at 3:35 Central, all right? So this is the early game, the first game on divisional weekend. The Packers will be going early in this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think that's a huge surprise. I was wondering where it would fall, but, you know, knowing that Tom Brady and Drew Brees are going to be matching up, you figured that was going to be the Sunday game, and it sounds like that got slotted into the prime slate. No shock there. I think this Packers-Rams matchup, while we're certainly very interested, I don't think it quite captures the random NFL fan the same way that watching two sure. future Hall of Fame quarterbacks go at it. I think, you know, from a fan standpoint, there's lots of individual matchups in this game that are going to be really intriguing. I think this will be a really good game, but it's not going to grab the attention of you know, the casual fan, as it were. So I would think from a rating standpoint, it makes sense to slot this into that weaker time slot. One thing that I just wanted to add about the Aaron Donald injury, you know, you talked about having bruised ribs before. I actually cracked a couple ribs one nice. Time. Taking a charge in basketball, and I couldn't sleep for like 2 weeks. I mean, you know, not mm-hmm. that like it never happened, but it was incredibly uncomfortable. And you wonder, you know, this is a guy who's going to have to jump on a plane in, you know, 4 or 5 days, fly to Green Bay, stay in a hotel. He's then going to have to breathe in cold air. Like, this could affect him pretty greatly. And yeah. I was interested how they, you know, sort of the phrasing of that, you know, they were going to get an MRI and see what other kind of damage there might be there. And that, you know, I would fully expect Aaron Donald to play as one of the toughest guys in the league, but mm-hmm. To be impacted, you know, and then potentially, you know, have to go against a pretty good Packers interior offensive line, Corey Linsley, Elton Jenkins. We probably are expecting Lucas Patrick to be at right guard. And so some interesting things, you know, tough guys in the middle and, you know, taking shots on your ribs as interior defense linemen do frequently. I would expect that to be pretty uncomfortable for him, you know. And then Cooper Kupp, I'm really glad to see that wasn't a serious knee injury, but if you have a serious knee bruise and you're getting tackled on a frozen field, I just can't imagine how uncomfortable that's going to be for him. So, you know, you hate to see injuries, but they're just a reality of the game. And, you know, we'll see how that impacts the Rams. And again, you know, people are going to have this like rust conversation all week because of the Packers history and because of what's going on with the Steelers. Mm-hmm. But the Packers didn't have to play. So their guys weren't getting beat up this weekend, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit. And I don't want to talk too much about your personal injury life here, but I'm curious, when you cracked your ribs, how did you treat those ribs? Do you remember?
Nothing. I went to the hospital and they said, you have some cracked ribs. There's nothing we can do, because they were, you know, they weren't broken. So it wasn't an internal injury. So you just let them heal.
Yeah, I was on
It wasn't a Drew Brees situation.
Okay. When I bruise my ribs, and I don't know if I cracked them because I never checked, I never went in, but I was on a trip and I had to sleep on the floor, which is incredibly painful at that time.
Yeah.
But there was a nurse with us and she gave us heat, right? And so I had like a heat pack that I was supposed to put on my ribs. So I'm just curious, I was asking you because obviously the opposite of heat, because we're really intelligent here, is cold. And so I'm wondering if, like, you know, that should be accentuated by the weather that he's actually traveling to play in. So lots of things to note there and to pay attention. Obviously, we're going to get plenty of injury updates throughout the week and the implications of those things. But the early game, I was just going to say, I don't think it's great for the Rams. Obviously, we're talking about these players that are beat up. An early game could also benefit the Packers in that they get an extra day over whoever they would potentially play in the NFC Championship, because they play that late game on Sunday night. I know a lot of fans don't like the early slot. I've seen Twitter already. People are upset. I think they'd probably be upset no matter where they played, but they're upset about the early slot. I know some fans wanted the night game, but I'm okay with it. I think it could end up benefiting the Packers in a pretty big way when it comes to a potential NFC Championship matchup.
Yeah, and I know like getting the game later in the evening is going to help with the weather, because mm-hmm. it'll get colder faster.
That's true.
But it's still gonna be relatively cold. It's not like one of these, it's not expected to be below zero. I think I saw temps of you know, like low 20s sure. around kickoff, which is fine. But you know, the cold weather, yes, one team's used to playing it one team's not, and that's an important factor. But the things I like to think of, you know, first of all, hitting the ground feels a little bit different. I think, you know, conditioning plays a big factor. The same as if you were playing in Denver and people are used to, you know, breathing in the thinner air. You get used to doing things in the cold. You get conditioned to it. And when you're not used to that, it takes it out of you. And, you know, you say, well, it's playoffs, like just kind of gut up and go with it. But sometimes your body just doesn't let you do those things. So for teams that aren't used to playing in it, it can be a pretty significant advantage.
Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Yeah, and I guess for me, I know that like anytime if you're playing like in a blizzard or you got some significant weather happening, that's going to be really hard for a team like LA to come in and deal with. But when you're an offensive team like the Packers who can put up 35, 40 points on a team, I'm okay with like, let's have Green Bay weather, but let's let it be something that we can play through because I think we want to put up the points, you know? So I think we got a happy medium here. Cold temps, but a clear forecast could benefit the Packers and let that offense do what they do. But the bottom line here is the Packers have something that they have desired for a very long time, and that's home field advantage throughout these playoffs, and it's pretty exciting to see a California team coming to town for a divisional game. You got to like your chances with that.
Yeah. So one thing that I was taking a look at, you know, the skill players on offense for the Rams, you know, Jared Goff, who went to Cal, Cam Akers went to Florida State, Robert Woods, USC, Josh Reynolds, Texas A&M. So basically the only skill player who went to somewhere that has a little bit colder weather, Cooper Kupp at Eastern Washington. So it is fair to say the Rams offense is not used to the cold weather. And I really question how Jared Goff's thumb is going to hold up in the cold. I'm sure those pins are going to be a factor, the injury. Again, as we talked about, the cold just accentuates a lot of that. You know, I took a look back and I had posted this on Twitter earlier on Sunday, but Jared Goff has played two NFL games in below freezing temperature. Both were in 2018, and it should be noted that this was the year that the Rams ended up in the Super Bowl. So that offense was humming. Weirdly enough, mid-October, there was a 24-degree weather game in Denver. I don't know, the weird temps in Denver at times. But Goff in that game goes 14 of 28, not a good completion percentage, 50% if my math is correct. 201 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Then in December, on December 9th, he plays at Chicago, 29 degrees, not that cold for December. But Goff goes 20 of 44. 180 yards, zero touchdowns, four interceptions. Nice. So on his career, you know, he's averaging under 200 yards a game, under 50% completion, zero touchdowns, five interceptions in games below cold weather. So, you know, there's some other factors. The Broncos and the Bears were both really good defenses at that time. But, you know, that's not super promising if I'm a Rams fan and this guy who I believe grew up in California and then played his college ball there and probably is not used to the cold weather at all. And I just really hope we as Packers fans can be patient if this offense does get off to a slow start, because this Rams defense is really good. Yeah. And I think if they allow Aaron Rodgers to take care of the ball, the Packers defense should be able to keep them in the game long enough until the offense can get clicking.
Yeah, totally agree. And I do think that that's going to be important. I don't think that the Packers, I don't expect that they're just going to be able to run Davante Adams out and do everything that they want to do with Davante, because the Rams have a pretty good corner, I hear. And Jalen Ramsey is going to be somebody he's going to do what he does. You're not going to see a 3-touchdown game from Davante. They're going to have to move him around and those kinds of things. So creativity on the offensive side of the ball. It's a good thing that we have a coach in Matt LaFleur who's pretty dang good at creativity and will put it together a good game plan. But it will take a little bit more creativity with such a dominant defense, especially up front. But we don't want to get too eager, Andrew, and look ahead too much. We want to stay here in the divisional round. But we do want to talk about other teams that are left in the tournament, because we could be facing these teams in the NFC Championship. Championship here in 2 weeks. So what is the other side of that NFC bracket looking like right now?
Yeah, so first of all, I should say that I did look it up. Jared Goff did grow up in California. Jalen Ramsey, who you're referring to earlier, grew up in Tennessee, played his college ball at Florida State, then played for the Jaguars, and now the Rams. So he is a very much a warm climate guy. Not that that has anything to do with anything, but you know, when you're not used to playing in a certain environment, it does make a difference. So the other NFC games or other matchup is going to be the Buccaneers at the Saints, and these teams have already met twice, of course, being in the same division. In week one, the Saints won 34-23. In week nine, the Saints won 38-3. Tom Brady threw 5 interceptions in those 2 games. In the second game, the Buccaneers rushed for 8 yards.
Eight.
That's eight. It for the whole game. I don't know. I remember that game being a blowout, but I didn't remember that factor. They only had 86 yards rushing in week one, so that wasn't particularly great either. So the Saints' defense has given the Bucs offense all sorts of trouble. Now that doesn't make it a guarantee. We have a repeat performance. Of course, they haven't met since week 9. And certainly some things have changed since then, but the real question is, how do either of these teams match up against Packers? We know the Buccaneers took it to Green Bay earlier in the season, but you and I have talked about how different this team looks on grass, on the road, and specifically in the cold. And the Packers defense is playing much better than they were at that point in the season. Plus, Matt LaFleur would have had a ton of time to create a play or to create a game plan to beat Tampa's blitzing linebackers, which gave Aaron Rodgers absolute fits. And don't forget, Green Bay was up 10-0 before the wheels really fell off in that game. And of course, you know, the Packers beat the Saints in New Orleans. Michael Thomas didn't play in that game, so that obviously is going to change things a little bit. But I think the Saints are typically a team that gets massively slowed down by natural grass. And the cold weather is going to be a bigger impact on Drew Brees than it would be on Tom Brady. Brees already can't throw more than 20 yards downfield, so imagine if it's a little windy and especially a little bit cold and that 42-year-old man. Where I get concerned is the Saints' defense is significantly better than when they played in Week 3. But in either case, I would be very optimistic the Packers should be favored in either matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Obviously we have an early game on Saturday. We'll be waiting around until Sunday night late to see who the Packers potentially will face in that championship game if things go the Packers' way early on Saturday. It's going to be fun to watch. If the Packers win, we're either going to get Rodgers-Brady, Rodgers-Brees, lots of fun football ahead of us, and in the road leading up to what we hope is a Super Bowl run for this team. We got to look a little bit here on the other side of the playoffs here and talk a little bit about the AFC. We're keeping tabs on that Browns and Steelers game that's happening right now, if you want to call it a game still. But it's looking like we're going to get the Chiefs hosting the Browns if the Browns avoid a just colossal collapse here. That looks like it will be the Sunday early game. The Bills will host the Ravens Saturday late after the Packers game. So, Andrew, how are you feeling about the AFC teams? We've shared a little bit of our love for the Bills in the past. Are you feeling some Buffalo Bills in the AFC?
Well, first of all, I should say the Cleveland Browns are now up 35-10 at halftime.
There you go.
So a little bit of scoring since we started recording. But I love the Bills. I love the way they play. Their defense has been kind of a disappointment all year after sort of carrying them through last season. But then, of course, Josh Allen has really elevated his game. Stephon Diggs is fantastic. And I really like the way Sean McDermott has that team playing. The Bills-Ravens is going to be a fun one because you have two offenses that can be explosive, but really, you know, the key matchup there is that juggernaut Bills offense against that really, really strong Baltimore Ravens defense. I think the Chiefs, if it does end up being Chiefs-Browns, that could be a really interesting one. Hopefully the Browns are at 100% because they're really going to need it. But, you know, if there's a way to beat the Chiefs, I think that ground and pound attack that they have, you know, you get Chubb and Hunt going, you know, you get a little bit of heat on Patrick Mahomes, sorry. Potentially you could give the Chiefs a little bit of a fight. It is interesting, you know, the whole premise of, maybe we'll go without having a great quarterback. The quarterbacks remaining in the tournament are Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Basically all of them are, you know, you could argue that's maybe 8 of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL
absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah.
So really, really interesting stuff. The AFC is going to be fun. And, you know, hopefully whoever the Packers play in the Super Bowl, it'll be a good matchup.
You know, and it's interesting you point out the quarterback situation is so interesting. And we listened to friend of the podcast, Joe Marino, was talking on their podcast the other day about how much he didn't want to face the Ravens. Was a team that he hoped he didn't have to play in the playoffs just because Lamar Jackson is such a wild card and hard to defend. And that's how I felt about Kyler Murray if the Cardinals were to get into the playoffs. The Packers are better than the Cardinals by far, but I think that X factor at quarterback is really, really interesting. And I think it speaks to this new, maybe emerging thought that if you don't have a superstar quarterback, you just need to wrinkle up the paper, throw it in the trash can, and start over and start looking, because it's so true. I mean, Baker Mayfield's kind of been a roller coaster, but he's playing great football right now. And you're right. Like, these are the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, with the exception of probably Jared Goff. And it certainly seems that if you're going to get to the playoffs, but then go far in the playoffs, it certainly seems like you need one of these elite quarterbacks to make that happen. So super interesting. Will be super fun to watch both sides of this tournament. And I think we're pretty excited about where we hope the Packers end up at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I wanted to wrap up the show with this. You know, I started a little bit of a playoff tradition of telling the listeners what I thought about the Packers opponents last year. And since we are not going to be doing another show before the Packers and Rams matchup, I wanted to share a couple of impressions about the Rams. First, I think Sean McVay is a really good coach. At least everybody who has ever met the guy, you know, seen him on the sidelines, would tell me just how phenomenal he is, what a genius he is, how he remembers every play that's ever been played in the history of the NFL, and, you know, is just a super genius. I mean, cancel out the fact that he basically just stole John Gruden's personality, added in the guy who thinks he's really handsome but is in fact just covering up his bald spot with enough hair product to kill a family of rats. He said he regretted getting filmed shirtless in his pool for Hard Knocks, but you know he just set that entire scene up with the film crew, and they were like, Sean, we can just do it in your living room. But, you know, McVay was like, no, just imagine how sweet it would be if you get to show off this awesome pool. Like, let me just pop my shirt off quick for this shot. You know, but in fairness,
his house is really cool.
His house is really cool. And, you know, he's done a really great job of developing Jared Goff. And I'm so glad that Goff is in the NFL, because I'd hate to see him in his fallback of trying to pick women up in bars with his tales of how great he was at high school lacrosse. Goff, of course, combines the neck of Brad Johnson with the derpiest expression in all of football. I just imagine every time that they show him up close on the sideline that he's contemplating how sweet it's going to be to show off his new golf pants to his buddies. So, you know, that's the Rams.
Oh, So people come here for the most intelligent breaking down of the NFL opponents, and you heard the best version of that here today from Andrew Mertzig. So good stuff, Andrew, and the Rams, nothing but respect. But, I mean, we did watch Hard Knocks, and we do know what you're made of. And, yeah, I think Andrew gave us a pretty good impression there.
Yeah, and then just imagine how great it's going to be when we're breaking down the NFC Championship and I get to talk about hand licker Drew Brees or mouth kisser Tom Brady.
if it's Tom Brady, I cannot wait for that episode because you're going to be on fire. That's going to be good stuff. That's good. It's good.
But it's pretty darn exciting to be two games away from the Super Bowl.
Is Sean McVay the only coach in the league who has that, like, handler guy that, like, keeps him on a leash and, like, keeps him from going onto the field? Is that true?
Almost every head coach does, but his is definitely more aggressive. Like, they may actually have him on one of those children's harnesses.
Right. But he's the guy who's like, oh my gosh, like, everybody, you know, noticed that he knows what he's doing. And he knows every defensive player on the opposing team's roster. Like, that's a big deal. Like, not every NFL coach can and should be able to do that. Like, I mean, I don't know how the Packers beat this team next week with a coach like this on the other side.
Yeah. In addition to making sure that Sean McVay doesn't run on the field and get penalized for it, that guy also covers up the bald spot in the back of his head.
So. Well, I mean, in all fairness, like, Mike Tomlin showed us that may be something that, like, people may need help with a couple years ago. So, yes. I mean, not to throw more shade on the Steelers, because, like, right now, I mean, it's 35-10, and they don't need that. But I mean, it's been a need in the past. So somebody thought of it. It's good.
Well, I'm glad we could get that in before the end of the show. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Pack of the Day Podcast. You can catch catch every week. Why? Find Kyle on Twitter at Packer_Pundit. You might be able to catch him there like a Pokemon as well. And you can find me at Andrew Mertig. Remember to also follow at Pack of the Day Podcast. Please subscribe and rate the podcast. Check us out all week as the team gets you ready for the Packers-Rams matchup in the divisional round. You can normally catch Kyle and myself every single Friday, but this week we have traded spots with Ben Fennell and Andy Herman, so check them out on Friday. That means the next time you can catch Kyle and I will be on Friday, January 22nd, where we'll be previewing the NFC Championship game. Thanks for listening, and as always, remember...